You have your Bibles, turn if you please to our text this morning, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. As we finish up our series, Doctrine Matters, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." Let's pray. Lord, I pray as we live in these days, as we're seeing the day approaching, Lord, that we would be more conscious than ever before of the fact that you really are coming again. I pray you'd remind us of that today. I pray you'd show us what we need to do to be getting ready for it and to be prepared for it. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. I started preaching without notes back in seminary, and it took a while to kind of get used to it. Second time I ever preached without notes was up in a church in Wisconsin, and the sermon was about the second coming of Christ, and the text was the verse we're looking at today. Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." So I stood up at sermon time and started reciting the verse, "Behold, I come quickly," and then my mind went absolutely blank, like somebody took bleach bit to my brains. So I walked over to the pulpit and smacked it, trying to jar my memory. I said, "Behold, I come quickly." Still, absolutely nothing. And I started to panic because I couldn't remember what I was supposed to say next. I couldn't remember my own name. So then I smacked that pulpit again as hard as I could. And I said, "Behold, I come quickly." But I smacked it so hard it started to fall over. And when I reached for it, I fell over with it. Right over top of the altar rail, landed in the lap of a woman sitting in the front row. And I said, "I'm sorry, lady, I'm sorry." She said, "That's okay, son. You warned me 3 times you were coming. I should have moved." You know what? In the Bible, Jesus warned us over and over and over again that He was coming too. But how many people, especially how many Christians, aren't moving or doing diddly squat about it at all? The text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're finishing up a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Doctrine Matters, looking at several absolutely critical doctrines that too many Christians are ignoring, and they're destroying their faith and destroying the church because of it. And today we finish this series by looking at the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And to see that, we turn today to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. In this part of Revelation chapter 22, Jesus speaks the last words about the last days in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. And in our text today, Jesus tells us for the umpteenth time that He is coming again. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, if we are ever going to understand the second coming of Jesus Christ, it better be right now when we are this close to seeing it happen. Our text this morning, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, tells us 3 things that we need to know about the second coming of Jesus Christ so that we can be prepared for it like He wants us to be. And let's look and see what those 3 things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to know about the second coming of Christ is that Jesus really is coming, because He says here, "Behold, I am coming soon." He really is coming, people. Not just might be, could be, ought to, woulda, shoulda, coulda. This isn't just a threat like your mom saying, "Don't make me come down there." It's like not Tom Brady saying that he's going to retire, or Lizzo saying she's going to be a size 2, or Joe Biden saying that he's going to cure cancer. This is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, telling us He is coming again. So the only question is not if, the only question is when. And the answer is very simple. Soon, quickly, BRB, ASAP, Jesus Christ is coming again. And I am not crazy because my mother had me tested. And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now saying, "Kevin, every time things get a little bit hairy, you Christians run around like Chicken Little with their heads cut off saying the sky is falling." No, I'm not saying the sky has fallen. What I am saying is that Jesus is coming. And it's not just me saying it. The whole Bible says it. Old Testament and New Testament both. Haggai chapter 2 verse 7, "The desire of nations will come." Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, "Behold, He is coming in the clouds and every eye shall see Him." 1,846 verses in the Old Testament, 1 out of every 4 verses in the New Testament talk about the second coming of Christ. So this isn't just some peripheral issue like, did Adam have a belly button, or how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. This is what the entire Bible points to, for crying out loud. Jesus said Himself, you shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. So none of this claptrap about Jesus just coming back spiritually in people's hearts and minds. Jesus will come back literally. He will come back physically. He will come back visibly. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Jesus Christ. Now the Bible tells us there's two different comings. The rapture that happens right before the Great Tribulation starts, and the second coming at the Battle of Armageddon right after the Great Tribulation ends. At the rapture, Jesus comes down only as far as the clouds. At the second coming, He comes all the way down to earth. At the rapture, He comes for the church to take us to heaven. At the second coming, He comes with the church to throw the devil into hell. Now, we know when the second coming is going to happen. That is at the Battle of Armageddon. But with the rapture, no one knows the day or the hour, because that could happen any second now. Ready or not, here He comes. And I know somebody's thinking, Kevin, do you honestly believe that one day Jesus Christ is actually going to part the clouds and come down here to this earth with blazing fire and all of His holy angels, just as sure as you're sitting there? Because Jesus said He'd come the first time, and He did. Jesus said He would die on a cross, and He did. Jesus said He would rise from the dead, and He did. Jesus says He will come a second time, and He will. Because Jesus does not lie, and He has never been wrong about anything else before. So book it, bet the farm, as sure as pocket aces in Texas hold them. Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, of course, the world today doesn't believe in the second coming. They just laugh at it. Like Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin. Howard Stern said this, Jesus isn't coming back because He wasn't nailed to a boomerang. Is that supposed to be funny? The world laughs at it, said Jesus isn't coming because He's been gone for 2,000 years. But folks, Jesus hasn't been gone for 2,000 years because He's not coming. It's been 2,000 years because Jesus is still waiting. He's still waiting for more people to get saved. There's somebody listening to this sermon right now. He's waiting for you to get saved. But listen to me, He won't wait forever. Because today He waits. Tomorrow He comes. Are you ready? The world today looks for a different Jesus. Last February the 8th, LeBron James became the all-time NBA scoring leader. 38,388 points. So Nike put this tribute together for him. This is what a part of it says. Hear that black preacher making it sound like LeBron James was Jesus Christ? People, you talk about idol worship because it's not about King James. It's only about King Jesus, because Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, sadly enough, the church blows off the second coming too. Because the modern, Laodicean, seeker-sensitive, seeker-friendly, purpose-driven McChurch today won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I have other pastors tell me, Kevin, you can't talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ because it's too controversial and people wouldn't understand it. They'd understand it if you explained it to them. But pastors are too lazy to study it and they're too scared to preach it. So what happens? I got people from all kinds of other churches coming to me with questions about the end times. And they say, Pastor, why doesn't my pastor talk about this stuff? That's a good question. Why don't you ask him? Luke chapter 10, verse 656, Jesus gets all over religious leaders who stick their heads in the sand and won't use the word to understand the signs of the times. Pastors, that's talking about you. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 pronounces a blessing on anybody who studies the book of Revelation and the end times. My wife leads a Bible study on it here every Wednesday night. Sharon McConnell's covering the book of Revelation in her Sunday school class. John Stuffelbeam constantly talks about Bible prophecy. I preach about the end time. Heaven sakes, Christians, if there's ever going to be a time when you're going to study the last days, it's right now when we're in them up to our eyeballs. Jesus Christ is coming again. And how do we know that? Have you noticed how the devil is popping up everywhere these days? last Sunday night, February the 5th, at the 56th annual Grammy Awards. A singer named Sam Smith, who claims to be non-binary, and Kim Petras, who's a man, actually pretending to be a woman, became the first LGBTQ performers to ever win a Grammy Award. So in front of 100 million people all over America and all around the world, they celebrated by performing a song called Unholy, with Sam Smith dressed up like the devil in a blood-red costume with a top hat with horns, while Kim Petras stood in a cage with dancers dressed up like witches and demons gyrating around her, with the whole stage set on fire to make it look like hell itself. This is part of what that looked like. And at the end of that song, all the witches and demon spirits bowed down to Sam Smith. The same Sam Smith that Joe Biden invited to perform at the White House last December when he signed the Disrespect to Marriage Act. What does that tell you? Now, stupid pop singers have used demonic images to sell music for years and years. But people, this was different. Because this wasn't just mildly demonic. This was open, in-your-face, satanic. And did you hear the crowd roaring and cheering it on? Before that show even started, Sam Smith tweeted this: "This is going to be special." And CBS replied, "We are ready to worship." So what? CBS worships the devil? And after the song was over, don't tell me it was a coincidence, a voiceover said, "Sponsored by Pfizer." Part of that whole demonic end times agenda that's trying to destroy people and destroy this country. Did you know Pfizer's vaccine hotline number is 1-800-666-3437? 1 John chapter 4, verse 3 says the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world today. And folks, don't tell me the spirit of Antichrist isn't all over America right now. Because that is what passes for primetime television. So can everybody just wake up and realize what time it is and what's really going on here? This is Satan worship. So while all the Christians are telling me, "Kevin, you can't fight the culture is teaching your kids to worship the devil, and they're not even hiding it anymore." You don't think we're living in the last days? And if that wasn't bad enough, the halftime show last Sunday night at the Super Bowl was pop singer Rihanna, also dressed in a blood-red costume, just like Sam Smith and Kim Petras, coming down from the top of that stadium on a platform like Satan falling out of heaven down to earth in Revelation chapter 12, surrounded by dancers that look like fallen angels and demon spirits. And you talk about satanic. And Rihanna sang a bunch of her hit songs like "Better Have My Money." How inspiring. Does anybody remember when the Super Bowl used to be really family friendly? And how do we know that what Rihanna did was demonic? The picture you see on the screen is the shirt that she wore to the stadium that night, with an upside down cross on it, spelled out by the words "mind control," which is the goal of Satanism. And after her first song, CBS purposely edited out. This is what she did after her first song was over. Took her hands and made the triangle of the demonic Illuminati sign. A close-up of her face shows that she had braids of her hair that looked like goat's horns on the top of her head. I could go on and on and on. Do you see how we're being played? And constantly told that everything evil and terrible is really something wonderful. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 says, "In the last days evil will be called good and good will be called evil." People, that is exactly what's happening right now. Those people think their father, the devil, is going to bring about paradise and utopia. But notice, none of those performances, not one single thing about the reality of hell. Absolutely nothing about the punishment or the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. They have no idea, no idea what they are helping to bring about. So wake up, folks, because the devil isn't just in the details anymore. He is front and center, right out in the open, trying to deceive and destroy as many people as he possibly can, as fast as he possibly can. And why? Because Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, he knows his time is short. And why? Because Jesus is coming to throw the devil in hell forever and ever. The first thing we need to know about the second coming of Jesus Christ, Jesus really is coming. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to know about the second coming of Christ. Not only is Jesus really coming, but he is bringing judgment with him. And that's exactly what Jesus says here. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. But notice first here, he says he's bringing rewards. So young people, not drinking with your friends, not downloading the porn, studying for your tests at school, obeying your parents, saving sex until you get married, it all matters. Parents reading the Bible with your kids even when they're squirrely and don't want to listen. Checking their phones, checking out who their friends are. Speaking up at school board meetings even when the officials blow you off. Not going bar hopping after work like all the other guys do. Staying faithful to your spouse and saying no to the next door neighbor who's got the hots for you. God sees it. Even if nobody else sees it, God sees it. God sees it and God knows it and He will never forget it. So keep working, keep serving the Lord, keep doing the right things. Keep fighting, because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, when Jesus comes back, He will reward every single blessed good thing that you ever do. Rewards. And then the other part of this, when Jesus comes back, there's going to be judgment. Every single person is going to stand before the Lord and be judged. And I realize this flies in the face of everything that people think today. Because see, today, you are your own God. And you determine your own truth. And your definition of right and wrong. What's right and wrong for you. And the rest of us, our job is just to bow and scrape and affirm you in your own reality. Billy Eilish said, you are your own God in your own temple. So today, the absolute worst thing that anybody could ever possibly do to you is judge you and point out your sin and make you feel bad about yourself. Well, boo-hoo. Because when Jesus Christ comes again, every single person who has ever lived or died is going to stand before the Lord and answer to Him and be judged for every single thing they have ever done. You and me included. And the sad thing is, if we're all going to be judged by works, and we are, every one of us is dead meat. We're all condemned. We're all deserving of nothing but hell. Because the good things we do cannot make up for the sins and the bad things we do. But the good news is, 2,000 years ago, God loved us so much in spite of our sin, He put His own Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross to pay the price for our sin. So when you stand before that judge and plead guilty and throw yourself on the mercy of the court, trusting in Jesus as your Savior, there won't even be any record of your sin at all, because it will have all been washed away by the blood of Jesus. So judgment day, no fears, no worries, no problem. So let me ask you this morning, are you ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Are you ready to stand before God on judgment day? Are you trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? And what happens after judgment? It's eternity. And contrary to popular opinion, eternity is binary, because it's either only heaven or hell, smoking or non-smoking. You trust Christ for salvation, you go to heaven. You reject Christ for salvation, you go to hell. And the judgment is final, because there's no second chance. George Barna tells us 80% of people in American churches today cannot remember a time when they ever heard a sermon about hell. Because pastors won't preach it. They don't preach about hell because it might make some people not come back to church. So too many pastors in America today are more concerned about keeping people going to church than they are from keeping people from going to hell. So much for sound doctrine. And I know there's somebody hearing this right now. You say, Kevin, heaven cannot be a real place. Because the Bible says that there is fire in hell, but the Bible also says that hell is pitch darkness. And if there's fire there, it can't be pitch dark. Hell can't be a real place. No. Because science tells us there is fire that burns so hot, the flame is actually invisible. Ethanol burns with an invisible flame. Hydrogen burns with an almost invisible flame. When fire reaches the point where it is so hot, just beyond what's called white hot, 2,400 to 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit, it burns with a flame that nobody can see. Don't tell me that hell isn't real. And what's even scarier, in hell, that hottest fire, the hottest fire that anybody can imagine, that so hot it burns with a flame that's invisible, never stops. It never goes out. Ever. For eternity. So listen to me. If you don't want to burn like that, if you don't want to go to hell, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you need to do that right now. You decide now where you're going to be then. Judgment. Now with judgment, what burns our bacon the most, so many evil people today are never held accountable for the evil things that they do. But folks, we got to remember, Jesus is coming. When Jesus comes, there will be judgment. They will be held accountable for everything evil thing that they do. That guy that raped you, that never got caught. That perv that molested you, who never got charged. Because nobody believed you. The kids at school that picked on you so bad, you wanted to kill yourself. Your ex, who lied to your kids and turned them against you. That person at work that stabbed you in the back and got you fired. All the Muslims that are killing Christians in Nigeria today. All the Nazis that escaped and were never forced to stand trial for war crimes. Every single one of those people, they can run, they can hide, but they are never going to get away because Jesus is coming in judgment and He's going to clean their plow and every single one of those people is going to get exactly what's coming to them. Luke chapter 8 verse 17, there is nothing hidden that will not be made known. Nobody is getting away with nothing. Every single thing is going to come out in the wash. Congressman Adam Schiff, who pushed the whole Russian collusion hoax and swore up and down, he had all kinds of proof that Donald Trump was a Russian spy. Lied to Congress and lied to the American people. Not only is that guy not in jail today, he's running for Senate in 2024. But don't worry. Don't have a baby. His time is coming. Right before the 2020 election, 51 former U.S. intelligence officials signed a statement that the Hunter Biden laptop was just a Russian disinformation campaign, which we all knew was a joke. One of those former U.S. intelligence officials was Air Force General Michael Hayden, former head of national security. Do you know what that guy had the nerve to say last November? So what if I lied? It kept Donald Trump out of the White House, didn't it? Everybody, just hold on. Because his time is coming. Last week, the CDC voted to add the COVID vaccine to the immunization schedule for all kids in America's public schools, even though there is no evidence whatsoever that kids need to be vaccinated for COVID. And two of those immunizations involve two shots of the Moderna vaccine that 27 European countries have already banned for people under the age of 30 because it's too toxic and too dangerous. The video you see on the screen shows Albert Bourlas, the CEO of Pfizer, asked by a reporter at Davos why his company didn't tell the world that the vaccines do not stop the transmission of COVID.
Mr. Bourlas, can I ask you, when did you know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission? How long did you know that without saying it publicly?
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Answer that question. I mean, we now know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission, but why did you keep it secret? You said it was 100% effective, then 90%, then 80%, then 70%. But we now know that the vaccines do not stop transmission. Why did you keep that secret?
Have a nice day.
I will.
You know why they kept it a secret? Because Pfizer was making $86,400,000 a day on the vaccine. $86,400,000 a day, every day, for 3 solid years. Follow the money. Last month, Pfizer's director of research and development, a man named Jordan Walker, admitted on undercover video that Pfizer was even doing gain-of-function research on the coronavirus, mutating new strains of the virus so they could come up with more vaccines and make even more money. People, that's evil. That is absolutely unconscionable. But everybody, don't freak out. Because every single one of those lowlifes associated with big pharma in any way, shape, or form with the whole COVID pandemic, Jesus Christ is coming again. They're all going to be held accountable. Every single one of them is going to get exactly what they deserve. And especially him. Over the last 3 years, nobody, and I mean nobody, associated with the whole COVID scam grinds our gears like Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's been the head of the National Institute of Health ever since 1980. Because Dr. Fauci's a part of that whole Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation World Economic Forum crowd that's trying to destroy your rights and install a one world government. This is what Dr. Fauci said back in 2018. We have to use the pandemic as an opportunity to change the very structure of society and every aspect of people's lives and let the experts who are truly invested in saving our planet determine the very details of how people live every day, what freedoms and rights they should be allowed to have, and how they can be monitored and guided by their leaders to make the best decisions for the common good. That's the kind of person we're dealing with. And during the pandemic, as evil came out, because emails obtained by FOIA show Dr. Fauci and the NIH did gain-of-function research at the University of North Carolina to make the coronavirus more deadly to human beings, and then sent it to the lab in Wuhan, China, where it was released on the world. And Dr. Fauci lied to Congress by denying that the NIH did any gain-of-function research at all. So why isn't the guy in prison yet? He contradicted centuries of established medical fact by denying natural immunity and claiming people could be sick even if they didn't have symptoms, and said people who didn't get vaccinated could infect people who are already vaccinated, which is like saying if you don't wear a heavy coat, the person next to you is going to freeze to death. And he used big tech and the AMA to shut down all other doctors who disagreed with him. No therapeutics, nothing about prevention or staying healthy, just vax to the max. And because of that, he was touted as America's top doctor and the nation's leading expert on COVID. And people worship the guy like Jesus Christ. In Fauci we trust. People even prayed to St. Anthony Fauci. And the guy absolutely ate it up. Cover spreads on InStyle and Vanity Fair magazine. Photo shoots of him in his office showed him surrounded by pictures of himself. You talk about narcissistic. Elon Musk's Twitter files said that Dr. Fauci wanted Hollywood to make a movie about him with Brad Pitt playing his character. And everybody that disagreed with him, he said they were disagreeing with science itself because he was science itself. Folks, Dr. Fauci has no fear of God before his eyes because he thinks he's God himself. Well, last December, Dr. Fauci retired as director of the National Institute of Health. And because everything he said about COVID started to be proven wrong, he went on a CYA tour to deny everything that he ever said. I never said anybody had to lock down or close the schools or give up holidays or wear a mask or get vaccinated. I'm just an infectious disease guy, so I don't have the power to influence anybody to do anything. I just gave my opinion and totally stayed away from the politics of the pandemic. Are you kidding me? And last month, in an issue of Cell Magazine, he wrote an article where he admitted that the vaccine did not stop the spread. Because vaccine viruses mutate so quickly, you can't vaccinate against. That's why nobody's ever come up with a vaccine for the common cold. This is a part of that article. It's not surprising that none of the vaccines work to stop COVID because natural immunity has always been more effective than vaccines in preventing infection, especially vaccines like these that have not had nearly enough time to be tested for quality. We said that 3 years ago and got banned on social media for it. Dr. Fauci admits that the vaccines don't stop the spread. Folks, that was the whole basis for no jab, no job, and millions of people got fired for it. And these vaccines cause more death and more injury than any other vaccine ever developed, all pushed by panic porn and Soviet-style propaganda in the media. So bad, to this day, unvaccinated Americans cannot come back into the United States unless they go through Mexico across the southern border. And why is Dr. Fauci admitting all of this right now? I'll tell you why. Because big pharma's already made their trillions and they've already collected all the data that they want. See, they purposely lied through their teeth about slow the spread and flatten the curve, and banned all therapeutics like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine that really does cure people of COVID to maintain a customer base for their new messenger RNA vaccine that's supposed to be the platform for all of the vaccines in the future. They prolonged this pandemic as long as they possibly could. to get all the data they wanted about how well the vaccine worked. That's why they told you the only cure for COVID was the vaccine. So Dr. Anthony Fauci is a part of that whole cabal that wrecked this country and destroyed your rights and freedoms, all for the sake of a technology that they're going to make buku money on. And your life, your health, your freedom, your job, your kids' education be damned, because you were nothing but lab rats. And now the guy is pulling in $530,000 a year on a government pension that your tax money is paying for. God help us, people. That despicable human being needs to be tried in an international human rights court and found guilty of crimes against humanity. And the good news is, he will be tried. And if not down here, then for sure up there. So all you Christian conservatives who really love the Lord and love this country and love freedom, don't get down, don't get depressed, don't have a cow about the evil that men do. You keep standing up, you keep fighting, you keep speaking out, you keep calling out the Dr. Faucis and the Bill Gates and the Klaus Schwabs and the J.B. Pritzkers, because Jesus is coming one day to judge the world. And he will give to every single one of them according to what they have done. And people, we need to be praying for them. Because if they don't repent, we know exactly what's going to happen to them. And we don't wish that on anybody in the whole wide world. The second thing we need to know about the second coming of Christ, judgment is coming with him. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to know about the second coming. Jesus really is coming. Judgment is coming with him. And third, Jesus really is coming soon. Because he says that here, "Behold, I am coming soon." And here, he's specifically talking about the rapture. That could happen in any second. And I know there's Christians listening to this sermon because they email me. All kinds of emails. "Kevin, you focus so much on the rapture, you forget about spreading the gospel." Are you kidding me? The Apostle Paul thought the rapture, the coming of Christ, was going to happen in his lifetime. And yet within 30 years, he planted churches all over the Roman Empire. The first century early church thought that Jesus was coming back in the first century. And yet they spread Christianity throughout the entire known world. Christians don't get lazy by believing that Jesus is coming any second. Christians get lazy when they start believing Jesus isn't coming back for a long time and they got all the time in the world. So Christians, we are beating the bushes and racing the clock because we know that Jesus comes like a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. People, he really is coming soon. And I know somebody's thinking, "Kevin, soon? It's been 2,000 years. So what?" 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, "A day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day." So 2,000 years. Jesus has only been gone 2 days. 1 John chapter 2, 18, John writes, "He was living in the last days already. And that was written 2,000 years ago." So what that means is, we are now 2,000 years closer to the second coming of Christ than even John was back then. People, we have never been closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ than we are right now. And we know that because of the signs. And I have all kinds of Christians write me an email. I have other pastors tell me, "Kevin, there are no signs. Because Jesus said, Matthew 16, verse 4, a wicked and perverse generation looks for signs." Yeah, signs that Jesus was the Messiah. Signs that they didn't need because it should have been obvious to them. But Jesus does not say wicked and perverse people look for signs of the end times. Because Jesus gave us all kinds of signs of the times to look for. In Matthew chapter 24, and in Mark chapter 13, and in Luke chapter 21. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 33, "When you see all these things happening, when you see all these signs being fulfilled, you will know that the end is near." Signs. More signs than the Dan Ryan Expressway. Signs that clearly show this world really is getting ready for the coming of the Antichrist and the chaos of the Great Tribulation. 2 months ago, scientists at the University of Beijing discovered that Earth's inner iron core, which is about the size of Pluto, has stopped rotating in the same direction that planet Earth is rotating, and now has started rotating in the opposite direction that planet Earth is rotating. Which means, folks, this world is going to come apart at the seams. But scientists say, "Don't worry, it'll probably be okay. Maybe. Hopefully." last weekend in January. NASA scientists, without any warning at all, spotted a huge asteroid that had slipped through all the search grids. A huge asteroid flying just 2,500 miles above the surface of the Earth. Hello? An asteroid that's big enough to destroy entire countries. That is 30 times closer to us than the moon is. Even closer to us than the satellites that fly overhead. But NASA says, don't worry, it'll probably be okay. Maybe. Hopefully. You say, Kevin, why are all these apocalyptic things happening? Because people, we are living in the time of the apocalypse right now. Jesus said in the last days there will be signs in the heavens above and on the earth below. Last February the 6th, a 7.8 magnitude earthquake killed 43,000 people in Turkey. Picture you see on the screen shows the buildings collapsing. Eyewitnesses who were there said it was like living through the apocalypse. And that was followed by other earthquakes in Romania, Indonesia, Puerto Rico, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Alaska, California, New Mexico, Georgia, New York. In just the last 13 days, Jesus said, Luke 21:11, in the last days there will be earthquakes in diverse places. All the signs are there. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 to 3 says, in the last days there will be food shortages, like with eggs. Last 2 years, the bird flu has killed over 100 million chickens in Europe and in America. And what makes it even worse, last January the 28th, Hillendale Farms, outside of Hartford, Connecticut, the biggest egg producer in the entire United States, mysteriously burned to the ground. Talk about foul play. And why? Because what do you know? One of the best things that people can eat to prevent and fight off the COVID virus, because it's got protein, selenium, vitamin B, D, and K, and helps build up your immune system to fight off that virus, is eggs. People, what in the world? What in the world is going on? Train derailments and chemical explosions in East Palatine, Ohio, Detroit, Michigan, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Kissimmee, Florida, Honoree, South Carolina, California, Alabama, Alaska, Louisiana, Texas. U.S. military shooting down UFOs over U.S. airspace, and to this day nobody has a clue what those things are or where they came from. Senator John Kennedy, Louisiana, said this, "If you are confused, you understand the situation perfectly. Just lock your doors tonight." 2 weeks ago, a huge bolt of lightning struck the 125 Christ the Redeemer statue on that mountain outside of Rio de Janeiro. People, look at that picture. Look at that picture. The reason it seems like these are the end times is because these really are the end times. The reason it seems like the whole world is coming to an end is because the world is coming to an end. Because all the signs are there, just exactly like the Bible says. We see World War III coming together in the Ukraine. More and more countries getting sucked in. More and more countries donating weapons. Now the United States and Germany are sending battle tanks. Then it's going to be fighter jets and a no-fly zone and eventually boots on the ground. Third World War, because there's already been two of them. And God likes doing things in threes. Germany was involved in the first two. And 2 weeks ago, when Alexa was asked when World War III was going to start, Alexa, she said this, November 23rd, 2023, when Russia invades Germany. What does Alexa know that we don't? And you say, Kevin, that's not even possible. It's not. Right now, Vladimir Putin has massed 500,000 new troops and thousands of new tanks for another new offensive in Ukraine later this month. Right now, a Russian warship with hypersonic missiles is patrolling in the Atlantic Ocean, just off the eastern coast of the United States. U.S. fighter jets have already engaged Russian warplanes in Alaskan airspace. And if somebody squeezes off a nuclear missile, even by accident, all hell breaks loose. The book of Zechariah says in the last days, during the Great Tribulation, there will be worldwide nuclear war, worldwide nuclear holocaust. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said this, "We are on the verge of a real third world war in Ukraine between Western powers and Russia. What is happening in Ukraine is a real world war that the West has been plotting against Russia for a long time, and it will end up destroying the entire planet." See what's coming? Do we see what's coming, and do we understand the only chance, the only hope that we have to escape it? Federal government thinks they got their escape. Ever since the 1970s, the United States Air Force has maintained a fleet of what they call doomsday planes. Four high-tech militarized 747s that had been designed to withstand the effects of a nuclear attack and to serve as a national airborne command center and to keep the government surviving so it can continue to direct military and civilian operations on the ground in the event of a nuclear holocaust. Four of them, so that one hopefully survives if the other three don't. And all four doomsday planes are kept and maintained 24/7, 365 by the 595th Air Squadron out of Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska. And people, you talk about some plane. They're four-engine, long-range, high-altitude planes that can fly at 600 miles an hour for 3 days without stopping and can be refueled in midair. Each plane has 42 different jam-proof communication systems, all analog so they can't be easily hacked, and can communicate with any plane, ship, submarine, ground station, or any kind of electronic device anywhere in the world. All computer systems are shielded so they are EMP-proof, and the entire plane is EMP-proof as well. Each plane holds a maximum of 112 passengers that will include crew members, the President, Vice President, Secretary of Defense, Joint Chiefs of Staff, and all civilian military officers and staff under them. The planes are kept so top secret, nobody except the commanders of the 595th Air Squadron knows where all four planes are at the same time. Only two presidents have ever ridden on one, and that was only for demonstration purposes. Only one has ever been opened up to the media, and to this day, none of the four planes has ever been used for its intended purpose. But folks, the problem is, if there really is a worldwide nuclear war and worldwide nuclear holocaust during the Great Tribulation, like the Bible says, one out of every four people on earth gets killed. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. And experts say if you're even 100 miles away from ground zero of a nuclear blast, you'll be dead in 30 days from radiation. If you're 200 miles away, you'll be dead in 60 days from radiation. And on and on. So your chances of surviving long-term a worldwide nuclear war are slim and none, and slim just walked out the door. You say, well, Kevin, I'll just get on one of those four doomsday planes. Are you kidding me? Each one of those planes only holds 112 people, or 448 total. And those planes are reserved for all the crew members and the VIPs. So unless you're a part of the chain of the command, you can kiss yourself goodbye. And you know what? The people on those planes aren't going to make it either. Because if there really is a nuclear holocaust all over the world, the dust and the ash that would be kicked up in the atmosphere by a nuclear Armageddon would clog those engines, and those planes would crash in less than a week. So can everybody say hopeless? But here's the good news. There is another plane. A plane that hasn't been around for just 50 years. A plane that's been around for over 2,000 years. Ever since Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. A plane that can take us off this earth before the Great Tribulation even starts. And not only take us off this earth, but take us to heaven. A plane that is not top secret because God wants everybody to know about it. See, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sin and rose from the dead for your salvation. So today, if you confess your sin to God and put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away and ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior, God will forgive you of your sin. And He will take you out of this world before the hell on earth even starts on Rapture Flight 777, Titus 213 Airlines. And that plane is bomb-proof, devil-proof, tribulation-proof. Nothing will touch you, and it doesn't have to be maintained, and it doesn't have to be refueled, because the flight only takes a nanosecond in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye. Salvation in Jesus Christ is like a plane that will take you from the crisis and chaos and apocalypse of this world to the peace and safety and eternal life in heaven. And it's the only plane and the only flight that there is. So people listening, more than anything else, you've got to get on that plane. And the good news is you don't have to be a VIP. And there's no passenger limit, because whosoever will may come. And because of what Jesus Christ already did at the cross, He's already got a ticket for you. You just need to claim it. And you need to do that right now. Because come a time, in the twinkling of an eye, that plane's taken off for a world beyond, never to return. But listen to me, you don't need to be afraid that you've missed it. Because it's still boarding right now. Today is the day of salvation. All aboard. Luke chapter 21, verse 35. Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you might be able to escape all that is about to come on the face of the earth and stand before the Son of Man. My freshman year in high school, we had an algebra teacher named Mr. Fultz. And he always did something that we absolutely hated. He would always give us pop quizzes. One pop quiz every week. But the problem was he never told us what day of the week the pop quiz was coming. So the good thing was we constantly had to go back and review and study and be prepared. So that we were ready whenever the quiz did come. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, He told us He was coming again. But see, Jesus never specifically told us exactly when He was coming. Which means we've got to go back and review and study and prepare so that we're ready whenever He does come. Let me ask you this morning, are you ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Because let me tell you, if you're not saved, you're not ready at all. If you are not saved and Jesus comes like that thief in the night, you're going to be left down here on this earth to go through the hell of the great tribulation and deal with the Antichrist. You say, Kevin, if that happens, I'll just accept Jesus then. Okay, but let me ask you. If you can't pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior right now, when there's no pressure, no hassle, no persecution for doing it, how in the world do you think you're ever going to pray to receive Christ if you're going to get killed for it by the Antichrist? You need to do that right now. This service is over. You need to get out of your seat. You need to come to the front of this church and you need to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can leave this church today knowing that you are ready when Jesus Christ parts the clouds and comes again. Be you therefore ready. For the Son of Man cometh at a time you think not. Don't you dare miss it today. There's Christians sitting in this church right now. Are you ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Can you honestly say, as you sit in this church right now, that you are good with God? Is there sin in your life that you need to get rid of? And I'm asking myself this just as much. Is there addiction that you need to be set free from? Jesus said, when He comes on, will He find faith on earth? Will He find faith in you? Is there distractions in your life that you need to get away so that you can be living for the Lord and serving the Lord like you're supposed to in these last days? Are you really right with God? Matthew chapter 24, verse 46. The Son of Man comes. Will you be ready? Because woe. Woe unto that servant who when his master returns, finds him asleep. Any second now, let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much for Your Word. And I just thank You, Lord, that it is so clear. Lord, we look around us. We know that we are living in the times of the signs. We just thank You, Lord, that we are at this point in history. And Lord, I pray that every single one of us, we really would be beating the bushes and racing the clock to see as many people get saved around us as we possibly can. I just ask and pray, Lord, for someone here, someone listening to this sermon who has never prayed to receive You as their Savior, they would do that today, putting their trust in the blood You shed on the cross to take their sins away and asking You to come into their heart and be their Lord. I just pray for the rest of us Christians as we see that day approaching, we'd get rid of the nonsense. We'd turn our backs on all the stupidity and the evil things of this world and just truly be focused on You. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.